Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we've been studying the second coming as described in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31. Yesterday we began to look at the signs which will appear in the heavens in relation to the second coming as mentioned in verse 29, as well as those passages from the book of Isaiah which predict the same thing. Matthew 24, 29 reads this way, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Today we'll continue this study and focus on what the minor prophets and the book of Revelation says about these signs in the heavens. We'll start with the minor prophets and end up in the book of Revelation. So turning to the minor prophets, we'll start in the book of Joel, chapter 2, where we see these similar signs being predicted as well, which will take place when the Lord comes back. And as we look at these, this, of course, is not meant to be an exhaustive study of the minor prophets on the subject, but just to show you that there's a consistency in the entire Bible, especially in relation to Bible prophecy, as to what's going to take place in the last day. So we really don't have to guess about the signs that'll take place that'll point to the fact that the Lord is coming back. And we see here in Joel chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it says, "The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?" So this time is so horrible that Jesus said that it's a time like no other since there's been a nation. And then Joel says it is so terrible that who is able to endure, was who is able to stand against the Lord when he brings his fury and his judgment. But also in the end of Joel chapter 2, which is also a familiar passage because it's quoted in Acts chapter 2 by Peter on the day of Pentecost, it predicts what will take place also in the heavens when the Lord comes back. Verse 30 and following reads this way, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord." So the one thing that we do see here is that when the Lord comes back, it's not going to be secret. There's going to be these incredible signs there in the moon and the stars and in the sun. It'll be so obvious that no one will be able to miss it of those who are on the face of the earth. Then also verse 32 of Joel 2 says this, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls." So even in the midst, even up to the last seconds, the Lord's going to be calling out to those that would receive him. And whoever would call on his name will be saved. And the Lord will come out of heaven and bring salvation as well as physical deliverance from this terrible destruction. So there's good news, even in the midst of this horrible destruction, the Lord will save any who would call upon his name. Then turning to Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it reads this way, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. They shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts." So here's a prediction that the entire earth, the sea, and the dry land will shake. Reminds me of what is said in Isaiah chapter 24, verse 20. It says, "The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again." But the Lord also says that he will come and his glory will fill the temple. I believe that's a reference to the second coming, that millennial temple that's described in Jeremiah chapter 40 through 48. The Lord's presence will fill that there, literally on the earth, after this time of shaking and great destruction. One other passage from the minor prophets is Amos chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. "So therefore the Lord God of hosts, the Lord of hosts says this, there shall be wailing in all streets. And they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, they shall call the farmer to mourning, and skillful lamenters to wailing. In all the vineyards there shall be wailing, for I will pass through you, says the Lord." Listen to verse 18. "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not lights." So here's some that are wanting the day of the Lord, but the Lord said it's going to be a time of judgment for many. So here we see in the minor prophets, there's a consistency of all that the Lord predicts about these signs that are going to happen in the heavens in Matthew 24. It's consistent all the way through the Bible from beginning to end, what this day is going to be like. Now let's turn to our second point and let's look from Revelation chapter 6, a graphic description of what will take place in the heavens when this sixth seal of the seven sealed book is unraveled. And it's exactly what we saw over the last 2 days from Isaiah, from the minor prophets, as well as from Jesus, as well as now from the book of Revelation. Listen to these words. Revelation chapter 6, starting at verse 12 through 17, it says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. So what we see is that during this time period, it's going to get darker and darker, probably gradually culminating there at the second coming, where it'll not give its light at all. Verse 13 says, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. This is why Jesus said this time period is like no other since there's been a nation. The stars themselves are going to fall to the earth, and what an impact that is going to have. Later on, the book of Revelation describes one of these stars as wormwood, bringing poison to the water supply. Verse 14, and this must be incredibly scary to experience, which says, then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And here's how the people are going to respond to all this in verses 15 through 17. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? The very question we saw in the Old Testament, who is able to endure this day? It's going to be so frightful and so terrifying that people are going to want to go into the caves and have the rocks of the mountains fall upon him to try and hide from this great wrath that God is pouring out. I believe what we see being described in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, which predicts this tribulation period, that the sun is going to go out progressively until a thick darkness covers the land. And in the midst of that, that's when the Lord returns. The moon will not give its lights, so it won't be light in the evening as well. The sky will roll up like a scroll. The entire universe will change. There'll be this thick black darkness, which will bring on greater fear in man's hearts. One of the things we have to remember is that Revelation 19 says that the Lord is coming out of heaven, and this time he's coming out as a warrior. He is on a horse. He is coming to make war and to bring judgment. He is not coming like the first coming in humility and submission to man, even to the point of death. He is coming to inflict judgment and fury and pour out the wrath of God. Now, I want to switch gears here a little bit from talking about the events of the last days and bring it a little more practically into our life. Because right now, people are making up their own God. They're saying, well, my God is a God of love, and he wouldn't do such things. And somehow everybody's just going to make it into heaven. And that just seems to be the attitude and the mindset that is sweeping across our land, that we need to be tolerant towards other religions, that every religion is just as valid as the next. But the problem is that God, the God of the Bible, says that it's impossible to know him apart from him revealing himself. And so we do not take parts of the Bible that we like and then add that to our theology and reject the parts that are offensive to us or that we don't care for, that we think, well, I don't agree with or I don't believe that. God has revealed himself, and as God has revealed himself, that's how we come to understand who the Lord is. And apart from him revealing himself, we do not have the ability to know God. This is what several passages in the Bible say, such as John 1:18 says that no one has seen God at any time. His Son has revealed him. And that term reveal is actually where we get the word exegetes, to explain. That's what we do when we go through the Bible. We exegete it, or we explain what that passage means. That's what the Son has done for God, because no one has ever seen him. He has come to reveal him or to explain him. This is what Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Listen also to what Matthew 11:27 says. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So what we find in the Bible is that God is unknowable apart from God choosing to reveal himself. So when God reveals himself, we don't pick out the parts that we like. The only thing we can understand about God is what he has revealed himself to be. And he has revealed himself to be both a God of love and a God of wrath. He's a God that will inflict judgment. He's a God that will send people to an eternal hell, as well as receive people by his grace and love and mercy to eternal life. Other passages in the New Testament speak of the same thing. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible God. That means that God's invisible to us because we can't see him. And then Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, speaking of Christ, says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And that term express image means that he is exactly like the Father. That means he's expressed the nature of God. And Jesus was one that was very tender and kind and gracious and merciful, but also he was one that was vengeful towards sin. Think of him driving out the money changers there in the temple. He did that twice. He even took a cord and made it into a whip and drove people out because of the anger of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord of hosts was burning in his heart towards sin. So even in the nature of Christ, we see that very thing. So when we want to understand who God is, it takes him revealing himself to us. And the Bible reveals that he is a God of love as well as a God of wrath. For example, if you want to understand the nature of God, if you want to understand his power and wisdom, you look at creation. If you want to understand his love, you look at the cross. If you want to understand his holiness, then you have to look at the second coming and the fact that hell is eternal. These express the nature of God so we can understand who he is. We don't just receive the parts of the Bible that we like, but it's a complete revelation of the nature of God. And because that is true, we need to be those that will be about our Father's business in this generation. This is the only generation we have to serve the Lord and to be light and salt and an example to those who do not know the Lord. Because if they die without Jesus Christ, they will experience his eternal wrath. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And the Lord has left us here with a role to communicate that truth to all nations, to all people, that whoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope these studies on the second coming that we're doing are provoking you to love and good works, to a holiness as well as an urgency to get the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And we can help you anyway here on Solid Ground with Bible studies, with tapes of programs that we've done in the past, or if you'd like to take some of the correspondence courses that we offer, you could give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-877-941-LAMB, or look us up on the web at www.calvarylm.org.